All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Yes, that familiarly haunting tune.
Haunting.
Yes.
Familiar.
Mm-hmm. Not very happy, are you?
No, not so much.
Yeah, I heard that you were a little upset. But before we get into that, let's say that this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 156, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and the mystery of episode 155 is what we're calling this one. And
why are we calling that?
Well, because the astute listener will notice that there was no episode 155.
It was missing.
Yes.
It's traveled into the ether.
Yes.
Along with episode 19.
For the first time in quite a while, we had a technical difficulty that was beyond our control.
Beyond our control.
And we should say thanks to our three guests.
We should.
Bobby and Peter Timoney, of course, of the Zuda Comics imprint.
Right.
Who talked to us about a great many things, and their friend Zaf Brannigan.
Oh, I thought it was Engelbert Slapdyback.
Oh, is that what his name was?
I think so.
I forgot. I thought it was Zip McBride.
That could be it also. Any one of those would apply, I think.
No, of course, it's Chant
McCloud.
McCloud, of course, was here also, one of the contributors, if you will, to the Timoney's Brothers Twins Comics Project.
We have currently rescheduled that
that show was awesome.
That group. It was a really good show.
Way,
I'm kind of upset
maybe,
that it's gone.
It's unfortunate that maybe one of the best shows that we've done in a while, too.
Maybe we could release the snippets that we managed to recover from the ruins.
It's not. I don't really think it doesn't work though. It just,
I know.
Just doesn't. I tried to figure out a way that we could kind of
a bonus track
do it, and it just doesn't work. But anyway, we are moving forward.
We are
into episode 156, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and the mystery of episode 155.
Right.
And let's, this is going to be a short one, I think, this week. Because,
well, you know, we're eager.
Well, not only that, but we have, of course, the Mecca.
That's
of,
what I mean.
Conventions this week.
San Diego.
I'm saying this week because I'm guessing that's when this episode will be out.
San Diego, literally outside of the front door at this point.
That's true.
We could touch it practically.
Uh-huh. So. And, of course, that we were talking about the San Diego Comic Con.
Right.
It is the biggest in the world.
It is.
It is taking place Wednesday through Sunday. We will be in attendance Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday, we should say, is preview night. Because
right.
A lot of people think it's Wednesday is a full day. It isn't.
No. So only those with four-day passes, professionals, exhibitors, et cetera, will be there on Wednesday night.
So they are allowed to get in because one of our friends was asking me about that, who has a four-day pass. Was like,
four-day passes are allowed in for Wednesday.
Oh.
That's one of the deals. That's one of the bonuses of getting the four-day pass.
Well, maybe that friend can help us get some things we got to get. There are literally 436,000 exclusives at this year's convention.
Right, and I want 435.
I just picked up another one.
Did you really?
NECA has the star sweatered Coraline.
Oh, I want that.
So and
bollocks.
My
so that's two from NECA now that I want.
My chick wants it, so I gotta get it. Yeah. And what's the other one from NECA?
April O'Neil.
Oh, April O'Neil
from the
right,
Turtles
from the
line.
Turtles line, right.
So There's a good handful of stuff one thing I pre-ordered, so I don't have to worry about that.
Mezco, a couple things.
Mezco, yeah, I think. Right. Yep. Hasbro definitely has at least one or two.
Yes.
I have to have the Soundwave.
I don't know. Did I see all the Hasbro ones? I don't remember.
There's
I don't
a 12-inch Baroness. There's a My Little Pony.
Right.
There's a Marvel piece. There's a Star Wars piece.
Oh, I know what it is. The 3 3/4 Captain America in black and white.
Right, right.
That one I want to get. There's also a kind of a 4-pack.
Okay.
It's Cap, Namor, Human Torch, and Red Skull.
Oh, yes.
3 3/4. No interest whatsoever in doing Marvel 3 3/4. By the way, I think it's terrible. And so does everybody, apparently, because Marvel Legends is coming back. So
right. Can I just say something funny about Marvel? You know, we have this side project going on that we're part of this group, this Geekerdome.
Down with Marvel. Oh, yeah.
No, you're going to laugh at this. You're going to appreciate this. So we have this thing, Geekerdome, going on the side. And as part of that, we have message boards now that everybody from all the shows and fans are contributing. And as part of the message board, there's a comics section where you can discuss comics. And there's a DC section, and it's filled with posts. And there's an independent comic section, and it's filled with posts. What are you reading? What do you enjoy? And the Marvel section, no posts. Just empty.
None whatsoever?
Just zero.
Not even, I hate Marvel. Zero.
It's like tumbleweed.
Jeez.
So that tells you that we've aligned ourselves with like-minded people.
Apparently. Look, you know what? We shouldn't... You know, I don't hate Marvel. I know that I get accused of it.
Yes, I know.
I get accused of it all the time. I don't hate Marvel comics.
Just Joe Quesada.
I just hate the way they're being run now. And you know what? And here's something. You know, I'm not really so on Dan DiDio.
Oh, I know.
About some of the things that he's been pulling
lately. Well, he's starting to go down the slippery slope.
He is. And it's regrettable, but it's happening. And I love Marvel characters. I was a Marvel kid growing up the whole time. I mean, with the exception of Batman, I think at least 90% of the other books I was reading growing up were Marvel books.
Yeah, as a kid growing up, I think Batman was the only regular DC book that I read. And
Batman,
as I got older,
Detective,
I kind of, you know.
Maybe a couple little things. I read Justice League when it was cool.
Right, right.
For like 3 minutes. And, you know, stuff like that. I mean, the bulk of it has always been Marvel. I always loved the X-Men. I love Daredevil. I love Cap. Those are my books. And I continue reading those today. But the way they're running stuff over there is just nutty, you know?
I concur.
Just nutty. So it's not that I hate Marvel. It's just that I think it's being run like crap. I think that they've done too much pandering to what they think is their audience and ignored who is actually their audience.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, you know what it is? It's Star Wars Galaxies.
Ooh.
It is. Let's dumb it down. Let's give the, you know, the 11-year-olds... what they want, regardless of what everybody else that's been playing the game for 2 years wants. And we're going to do it this way, and eventually everybody will like it. Well, no, that's not the case, and that hasn't worked at Marvel either, you know, even though it's always something. All right. But anyway, let's move on into the news. I'm going to start off.
You're starting off?
Yeah.
This is unprecedented.
No, it was. I did it last week, too, but nobody heard it. Blue Water Press announced an October release tribute, Michael Jackson, the King of Pop comic book.
Of course they did.
Yes, and it's going to focus on all aspects of his life, celebration of his life, his work, his, you know, all that sort of thing from
the
his early
years.
Days with the Jackson 5. What's that?
The diddling years.
I believe the diddling years will be included, but I don't know what position. Obviously, none of us know what position they're going to take on that, but that's coming out. I find it interesting that it's gone to this level now that comic books are starting to come out as tribute, but I guess somebody had to do it. Might as well be Blue Water.
Well, look, Barack the Barbarian. I mean, really, is this that much of a shock?
That was a good book. It was funny.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'm saying as
well. You missed out on that one.
Okay. Probably the biggest thing in the geek-related news in the past couple days, or at least today, is the images that appeared online that apparently we will see some of later this week in Entertainment Weekly magazine. The new cover of EW is going to feature one Tony Stark, Whiplash, and Black Widow. in the first image from Iron Man 2.
Now, will it feature them in their character, in their costumes?
Yes, I've seen the image.
Oh, you have?
And it is a terrible, crappy... Well, the versions we've seen so far online are terrible and crappy. They're blurry as all hell. But but it is them in their outfit, yes.
Him with the tendrils?
With the tendrils, yes. And I believe Iron Man Stark has the suit on but no helmet. Black Widow is kind of... Her back is kind of to us with her head around her shoulder looking at us. So there was that image. And then that was followed up by another image of Black Widow that's actually a little bit better. And it's kind of her in that, I want to say it's a Greg Horn cover.
Okay.
Of Black Widow crawling, like, on the ground towards you. Except that I think in the cover of whatever Greg Horn issue I'm thinking, she had the blonde hair. Because I think he was doing blonde hair Black Widow. Okay. And this is red hair Black Widow. But, you know, she's wearing the black bodysuit. She's kind of got those armband things that she wears on. She looks good. I'm not going to lie. I mean, she looks like the character.
She's no Emily Blunt.
She is no Emily Blunt. She's still gorgeous, but no Emily Blunt. But all of that aside, even though that was much to do and yada yada, the biggest picture, I think, or the biggest spoiler, I think, is in regards to Pepper Potts. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
There's an image of her with what looks like a partial cybernetic arm on her left side. She's got like an Iron Man-like hand and some sort of cybernetic attachment on her elbow.
Okay.
Now, I'm not currently reading Invincible Iron Man. Are you currently reading Invincible? Well, apparently in Invincible Iron Man right now, that's going on with the Pepper Potts character. She was injured in some way, and Stark helped kind of fix her up with this cybernetic attachment on her arm. And apparently that's what we're going to see in this second movie.
Okay.
The picture looks pretty good. I mean, when I had first seen the image, I didn't know what it was from or where it was going. And then when I read a little bit more about it, and at least it seems like it's tied in some way to what's going on in current Iron Man continuity, it makes it a little bit more palatable to me.
Right.
But we'll see what happens with it. Okay. It looks all right, though. I'm not going to complain too much.
Okay.
Natalie Portman has joined another comic book movie this week. This would make her second comic book movie,
right? Is this the V sequel?
This is not the V sequel. This is her role in Thor. Look, I just report it. Apparently, she's going to be playing the love interest in the upcoming Thor movie.
Okay.
The character's name is Jane Foster. My knowledge of Thor can fit into a thimble, a really small, like a Monopoly thimble.
I have no idea.
I have zero idea who that character is.
I don't recall that character in the Frog of Thunder storyline, so it's news to me.
Well, apparently she was Thor's first love interest from early on in the comic book series.
Okay.
So from the early days. So I guess that kind of makes sense. Do I care? I could kind of give or take Natalie Portman. She doesn't... You know.
Oh, I'd take Natalie Portman.
Well, you can take her then. Take her. Run with her. Have fun.
What's wrong with you? She's hot.
Okay. I don't think she's drop dead gorgeous like some people do.
She's a good looking chick, I think.
All right. You're entitled to think that.
You really liked her when you saw her in The Professional. You thought she was hot then.
She was like 3 then, wasn't she?
I wasn't judging her age. I was just saying how much you liked her then, that's all.
Hey, look, that's illegal. I'm not into that.
There wasn't nothing illegal about liking the girl.
Oh, right. Okay. I liked her in Garden State. I'll give her Garden State. She was okay in V, so there you go.
Oh, yeah. She was fabulous in V. What's wrong with you?
Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, heard of him.
Currently, it looks like he might be the one that will be moving on to direct the RoboCop reboot revisioned film.
No, it's a reimagination.
Oh, right. I forgot we did that.
Yes.
So, there it is. Do we need another RoboCop movie? What were there? Were there three?
We didn't
was there a TV series?
I think there was.
I like the first one. The second one was like, meh.
I like the second one, too. It's the third one that bugged me.
Yeah, and was there a TV series?
I think there might have been a TV series. I don't really remember.
I can't remember either.
It kind of fell off for me after.
Either way.
Peter Weller leave after the second one and was some other dude?
Yeah, he was only in the
like
first two.
Peter Weller?
Yeah, that kind of looked like Peter Weller.
Yeah.
No, we don't need another RoboCop anything.
and it's going to be a reimagination. So who knows what it'll... Maybe he'll be like a cyborg that moves around well now or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He won't be the equivalent of the Tin Man in this one. Terrible. Wasn't there RoboCop Alien or RoboCop Predator? Didn't someone do that comic
at
book?
At some point,
maybe
yeah.
they'll work him into the Aliens Predator reboot movies that are coming out by Rodriguez and whoever's doing the other one. Yuck. Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica fame.
Uh-huh.
Is going to be voicing a prominent female member of the Green Lantern Corps in the upcoming Green Lantern First Flight, which is DC's next animated feature. She will be doing the voice
now, that's
of
not out yet, right?
Boudica. No, it's coming the end of July. So okay. I guess I don't know if that had been previously announced that she was doing that voice. I don't remember reading it previously, but July 28th is around the corner. So
San Diego.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's just after San Diego. So we'll see what that means.
Right?
Yeah, we'll see what that means. So I guess that was interesting.
Okay.
To say at least a little bit. We have news in the Whedonverse. There's always news in the Whedonverse.
Okay, what now?
Dr. Horrible was nominated for an Emmy.
For what?
It's best
use of Felicia Day.
No, it's best series, TV action or comedy, something like that. It's some sort of new category.
So internet qualifies for that now?
Apparently.
And why wasn't the Guild nominated?
I don't know.
Gay.
Look, yeah, at least something was nominated. You got to take one over the other, I guess.
Jim Parsons was also nominated from
Big Bang Theory. I'm very excited because season 2 comes out September 15th.
Yes.
And season 3 starts September 21st.
Yeah, and it
I got 1 week to catch the fuck up.
That show is funny as hell.
I've still only seen season 1.
This past season was really, really funny. I'm very glad he got nominated.
Season 2 or 3 just ended?
2.
Okay.
Season 3 is coming up.
Season 3. Okay, right. Okay, good. So I have time to catch up and then get on board.
But he's up against, like, Alec Baldwin, I think, and I don't know who else, but Alec Baldwin's won it, like, the last 2 or 3 years, so
Oof.
For 30 Rock.
I'd love to see him win. It'd be nice to see a new face.
I'd love to see that kid win because he is funny as heck on that show.
He is really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good show, and that's a good role for that kid.
Yep.
We'll stick with Whedon related news.
Okay.
For those of you who are familiar with the Halo video game franchise, which really, who isn't familiar?
Well, that's
with
an underground thing. Not a lot of people know about that Halo.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
who
apparently
isn't familiar with it. My mother's familiar with it. That's how universal it is.
Apparently, in the next installment of Halo, which is Halo 3...
The final installment?
ODST, whatever the hell
that stands
for.
I heard that's the last one.
Nathan Fillion is coming back. He's going to be playing a premier character in the game, Sergeant Buck. And apparently, it's going to be his likeness as well as his voice. Now, in Halo 3, the regular release, I think Fillion and Tudyk both lent their voices to, like, random dudes.
To 3 or 2?
No, what's out already? 3
two.
Is out already, right?
No, isn't...
Is only 2 out already? Okay, so then 2...
Wait, is it 2 or is it 3?
I thought 3 was out, and then this is like an offshoot of 3. I don't know, I don't play
Halo. I think
Halo.
This is 2. I think the one that's out now is 2, because
okay.
I bought both when Halo 1...
Oh, that's right,
because
you bought
special...
both of the special editions.
Yeah.
Okay, well then in 2...
Right.
Fillion and Tudyk lent their voices to, like, generic characters, and you
okay.
can hear them a couple of times. But in 3, Fillion is returning as the character Sergeant Buck, and it's his likeness this time, and obviously his voice again, and you will recognize it easily.
Ooh.
So there's that. And then, sticking with Tudyk and Fillion, apparently Spike TV has a new TV series called PG Porn, which I haven't heard of before because I don't really follow Spike TV too much.
Okay.
But both Fillion and Tudyk are starring in episodes of that show.
PG Porn?
Yeah. It's the parody videos, actors and adult film actresses in some sort of like spoof roles. And I guess it's supposed to be like silly, funny Spike TV bad
okay.
comedy shit.
That is funny.
So the only interest in it is that, you know, Fillion and Tudyk are in it. And then, of course, if you watch, do you watch Ace of Cakes at all? Do you watch
no.
Food Network at all? Do you know Ace of Cakes?
Ace of Cakes
is probably the closest thing that you can get to geek food related programming.
All right.
Because they always like to do, they did a Lost cake and they did a Harry Potter cake. They've done a bunch of Star Wars related cakes. Well, in the upcoming or the newest episode, the first episode of the new season, they're doing Serenity.
Nice.
And that's going to air. Well, by the time you hear this, it will air, but it'll be in reruns profusely. So you could check foodnetwork.com for information on when that episode airs.
Sweet. Let's do some DVDs and comics this week. In DVDs, there is but one.
All right.
For me, anyway. And that is ER, the complete 11th season.
That show's still coming out on DVD?
11.
How many seasons did that show have? 13? 15?
No, I think it's got to be,
374?
It's got to be up there like 14, 15, 16, somewhere around
Jesus
there.
Jesus Christ.
It's got to be because... We're only at the point now. This is after Mark Green has died, of course, and so they're picking up and moving on. And we have a lot of new characters that joined in season 11 that ran till the end of the run. So this is—it's kind of like if there was a middle point, this season 11 would kind of be it.
Okay,
you know, and Noah Wiley leaves at the end of season 11, and so you know it's.
There's some big turning points that take place.
Right. So there it is.
Milestones.
Yes. The complete 11th season. Going to run you a usual box set price, probably around 40 bucks. And there it is. That's DVDs for the week, unless I missed some.
I don't think that you did, which is kind of sad, actually. So,
yeah.
You know.
Let's talk comics.
All right.
Only a couple to mention to you this week. Of course, Wednesday Comics. From DC has come out. Now, this is the newspaper-like, full broadsheet, single-page comics thing that's happening from DC, featuring stories from all of your favorite DC characters, Batman, Superman, Hawkman, Deadman, Green Lantern, Kamandi, and a million others, Flash, Sergeant Rock, Supergirl, Metal Men, Metamorpho, Strange Adventures, Demon, and Catwoman. I mean, it's a whole gamut. They're kind of single-page stories that are continuing week to week.
Right.
It's a good experiment from DC. It's only $3.99. You get a little piece from all your favorite characters. Not a bad thing. Check that out. From... our buddy amigos over at Dynamite Entertainment. It's Buck Rogers number 2. This is the ongoing comic by Scott Beatty and Carlos Rafael, which is given a great spin on the whole universe of Buck Rogers, if you will. Fantastic artwork, terrific story. Check it out from Dynamite Entertainment. .com, I think, right? DynamiteEntertainment.com. Yeah, you can check it out over there, or you can go and buy it, which you should probably do both of. From SLG Publishing. SLG, you know what that stands for?
No.
Slave Labor Graphics.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's a brand new comic called Zeke Deadwood, Zombie Lawman.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's a black and white comic, but it's the full rendered kind of black and white.
So is he a zombie or is he fighting zombies?
No, sir. He is a zombie, I think, is the point of it. And it's got terrific art. It's a terrific little funny little story. I was really attracted to the art style and, you know, the zombie thing and all that is not my highest priority. But the artwork really captured me, and I read it, and I thought it was really, really good. So check that out. It's by T.A. Boatwright and Ryan C. Rubio.
Okay.
And you can check it out at slgcomic.com.
Nice.
That's where you can get them. Couple of trades also from Slave. Yeah. Slave Labor Graphics.
Slave Leia.
Slave. Yeah. Whoa. This is from Slave Labor Graphics, slgcomic.com, which you can check out over there. This is the Tron Ghost in the Machine comic book that they've done. This is a like a trade paperback, but they've miniaturized it.
Okay.
So it's kind of smaller than regular comics. It's the complete miniseries that they did here. Excellent art, terrific story. Tron fans, you must get on the ball and pick this up.
I'm going to have to hunt one of those down.
I know that you will. One of my favorite offbeat superhero universes that's kind of set aside from other comic book universes has always been Astro City.
Yes.
And this is from Wildstorm. It's been going on for a number of years now, Astro City. And their latest trade, Astro City, The Dark Age, Book 1, has come out. Brothers and Other Strangers by Kurt Busiek. And I think it's Alex Ross. Well, Alex Ross did all the covers and I think did the design work also, if I'm not mistaken, on that. And Brent Eric Anderson, the artist on the inside. Terrific art. It's actually a really, how do you put it? Sort of an adult story, I guess.
Okay.
For lack of a better word. It's a very mature superheroes kind of story, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Astro City. So check that out. It's The Dark Age, Book 1, Brothers and Other Strangers. And finally, from DC Comics, Neil Gaiman and Andy Kubert give us Batman, Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader, the Deluxe Edition.
Ooh.
This is a hardcover. It's slightly larger
okay.
than normal size comics, as you can see here.
Right.
Slightly larger.
It's larger than normal size comics, but not magazine size.
Right.
It's like a middle.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the middle. Slightly larger. And it presents Gaiman and Kubert's entire Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader story. And by entire, I mean both episodes.
Okay.
And yeah, there it is. Gonna run you about $25. Well worth it if you're a Gaiman, Batman, Kubert, good story writing, good comic book fan.
Okay.
And that's comics for the week.
I think it's time to probably take a break.
Yes, let's take that break and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 156, Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Mystery of episode 155. Ooh, that's a mouthful.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 156. Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Mystery of episode 155.
Yes.
That is a mouthful.
It is. You can tell by the mysterious and hauntingly familiar theme.
Right.
That OG has the desire to talk about the brand new Harry Potter movie, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Well, you should have the desire to talk about it as well. We both saw it.
This is true. We did. We attended a midnight screening.
Last time ever.
Yeah, no more midnight
screenings. I'm done with midnight screenings.
Am I old?
You know what? It might be. No, actually, the crowd really wasn't as well-behaved as I had hoped they would be. The movie was way too long for someone who has the hours that I keep. And not in a bad way, way too long. Just by the time I got out and then had to get up the next morning, just a long experience.
And here's my question. What happened to high school girls?
What happened to them? They're like college
like
girls
school.
Now.
They don't look like high school girls to me.
It's all the hormones in the milk, sir. That's what I hear.
I'm telling you, man, we were looking around that theater, me and Pervert Ken and, you know, the whole crew that we had there, and we were just like...
ogling that one blonde two rows up?
It wasn't just one person. It was a general feeling about the fact that high school girls are either less conservative and more slutty.
Well, what gave it away? Was it the group of girls that walked by in the really super short Hogwarts skirts and knee-high socks and super tight shirts? Was it that group that gave it away?
That would be one group.
Because that group, I felt like I should go to jail. And all I did was walk past them.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, I don't know. It's pretty stunning. They didn't look like that when I was in high school.
No.
I mean, they looked fine, but I mean, they didn't look like, that's like. Unbelievable.
Well, I went to an all-boys high school, so
I know
no one really looked like that when I was in high school.
Yes, I know. You didn't have to worry about those icky girls, did you?
Sexy party.
Wouldn't it be marvelous if you turned out to be homosexual?
No. But that being said,
yes,
we probably should talk about this movie in some capacity.
Because you're chomping at the bit to rant on this thing, so I wanted to provide you the opportunity to do that.
Let me start off by saying... that
Hermione is hot.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I know. I didn't know whether that was the first thing you wanted to say. I wanted to set the tone. Now that we've already talked about the high school girls that were in
Emma
attendance.
Watson, the first legal girl we've talked about this segment.
Could be. yes, she's stunningly hot. Very funny.
She is very attractive.
And just terrific. And
the girl that plays Ginny Weasley is growing up nicely. Pretty attractive,
she's
too.
She's coming along nicely.
It's rather surprised. I feel kind of dirty, but...
we'll see in another year how she comes along. Bonnie Wright is her name.
Yes, Bonnie Wright.
Yes, and she is a cute girl. Yes, it's true.
Let me start off by saying that I didn't entirely completely loathe and detest the movie like some.
Yes,
I did like it.
I've heard a lot of very negative things.
The reviews on this movie, to me... are completely and utterly baffling. Like, some people are saying that it's the best one yet.
Right.
Out of the six that have been released thus far, this is by far the best one. And then there are some people that are like, well, I really liked it, but I had some really major complaints. Uh-huh. And then there are some that are like, I hated it. So it really runs the gamut.
Uh-huh.
To me, it is by far not the best in the series so far. I think 3 is still the best movie in the series.
Which
so
one
far.
Was 3?
3 is The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay.
I think it's probably the closest one to the actual book. I think it's probably the best one. Overall, I think it was just the best one that was put together the best out of the 6. There are some pretty glaring problems with the 6 book. I think even if you haven't read the book, I think there are still some problems with
the
movie.
Well, that's me. So now, as we've previously discussed, I have not read any of the Harry Potter books. All of my Harry Potter knowledge comes from the films.
Right. So, the ending of the movie. Oh, do we have to play the spoiler alert? Do people not know?
If people were not around in, 2003 when the book came out?
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Yes. I'm not playing spoiler alert.
are we over it?
Snape kills Dumbledore.
All right.
There.
That we said spoiler, so by proxy, hopefully you're not listening if you haven't seen or read the books.
Right.
The ending of the movie. Now, you stayed awake for the whole movie.
Which is almost a miracle.
It is a miracle in and of itself. Did you not feel it was completely rushed and anticlimactic?
Well, I didn't feel that way. I felt no different about the ending of this movie than I felt about the ending of any of the rest of them.
Okay.
I mean, I felt like it ended, I guess, how it was supposed to end. Now, not having read the books, I've heard this criticism that, well, all of a sudden it was over.
Right.
You know what I mean? And but to me, whose knowledge is pretty much based on the movies, well, they kind of all end that way, don't they?
Yeah, although some of them kind of wrap up a little bit.
Not
at the end
with
of each book.
The one with the wizard tournament one.
Four, Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, that one seemed to have a much more dramatic build-up and conclusion than maybe the other ones. But I think, by and large, the other ones kind of just ended the sort of the same way.
I realized at about 2 hours and 10 minutes into this movie that there was a problem.
2 hours and 10 minutes it took you to realize that?
Well, because as I'm watching the movie, and I'm starting to think about things, I really try not to think about it too hard while I'm watching it.
Okay.
Things poke out at me.
Right.
And I'm like, I kind of store it in my bank of, I really need to think about this more later, but let's enjoy what's going on now.
Right.
About 2 hours and 10 minutes in, I realized that we were 2 hours and 10 minutes in, and there was a ton of stuff that still had to happen, and there was only 20 minutes left in the movie.
Right.
The runtime of the movie, I think, is 153 minutes. So it's 2 hours and 33 minutes about.
Right.
So I thought the ending was anticlimactic. Having nothing to do with the books, I thought all of a sudden it was just over. And not only was it just over, they barely addressed something huge and significant that happened at the end. It was kind of like this big thing happens, Dumbledore dies, and then they barely address it, and then it's Hermione, Ron, and Harry standing on a ledge looking out over the mountains and the landscape, and Harry's like, oh, I think it's so beautiful out there, and Hermione's like, you know, everything's going to change. Well, no shit, everything's going to change, but maybe we should address that a little bit.
Okay.
The only thing that I can think is that maybe because some of this stuff has been filmed so consecutively back to back, that maybe it's something they're going to address at the beginning of the next movie. Now going to the books and using the books as a reference, there's this whole elaborate funeral scene.
Yes.
Addressing the fact that Dumbledore, like a huge part of the story, has just died.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that might not be the opening sequence for the next movie.
That's the only thing that I could think.
Now, here's why. The last book, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, is being split into two movies.
Correct.
So you figure they easily have enough time to do an opening credit sequence funeral thing.
Right.
And it would be a good use of that time.
Absolutely.
So I don't think that's without reason.
That's the only way they can salvage that, I think, to most fans.
Especially if a lot of people start complaining.
Well, people are complaining already, so.
But I think most of it's already filmed.
Right.
So.
Well, that is true. But let's talk about that use of time.
Okay.
How about we talk about a scene that was almost completely and totally unnecessary in the movie that did not exist in the books.
Okay.
That would be the whole fire chase sequence outside of the Burrow. The Burrow being the Weasley's
ancestral home.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's this whole sequence with Harry and Ginny Weasley.
Right.
And Bellatrix Lestrange and Fenrir Greyback.
Right.
Two of the Death Eaters in the film. And they end up burning the house.
Right.
The house, which plays a really important part in the next part of the film.
Well, I'm sure the house will have been rebuilt.
My thought is that someone will wave their magic wand. You know, Dumbledore is really great at repairing. Oh. And
yeah, not him.
and
you
will
be
repair,
waving nothing.
Repair, exactly. But that scene almost seemed pointless. Like it had no real significance other than maybe to further advance the relationship of Harry and Ginny.
Right.
To give them this kind of private moment.
Well, certainly that is one of the devices. And that device was used, not that particular device, but devices were used to bring this Harry and Ginny relationship to the forefront rather often throughout the film. And my understanding is that there's another scene where Ginny helps Harry hides the potions book.
Right. That yeah, we
that
see that
belonged
in the film.
To the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah, in the room of whatever it's
but
called.
But that's not how it happens in the book. is my understanding.
He helps her. She helps him in the movie, but I believe it plays out a little bit different. I don't remember that exactly how that played out in the book, but I think it definitely was slightly different. So. Okay.
So, but there are a lot of those things where they're inserting Jenny into these situations in order to make Jenny an important part of Harry's life. So from the perspective of needing to build that relationship, I understand some of those choices.
Yes. Let's talk about the Horcruxes and the memory sequences.
Okay.
Okay. You know, do you remember the Horcruxes that
now? Yes. Okay. Now let's see how much of this that I picked up. Okay. Yes. So when Tom Riddle, who would eventually become Voldemort, was young,
right,
he wanted to learn about how to put essentially his soul into an item so that it would live on past the death of his body and somehow could be rejoined with another body or some such a thing. And in doing so, he tried to learn from Slugworth. No, that's Willy Wonka. yeah, that guy. He tried to learn from him how to do this, and he eventually learns how to do it and puts himself into seven different things, right?
Okay.
Now they figure they need to get those in order to destroy him.
Right. Perfect. So now in the book, let's refer to the book.
Okay.
In the book, there are a lot of these memory sequences where Dumbledore is taking Harry into his past and into the past of Tom Riddle.
Right. He puts his face in the pool.
Yeah. He pulls out the memory, puts his face in the pool, and he's showing him these things, and he's kind of explaining to Harry a little bit more about the Horcruxes and how Voldemort did it and what their meaning is and their significance is. And that was almost completely glossed over in this movie. You actually see, three Horcruxes in the movie. One turns out to be fake. Dumbledore has two. He explains to Harry those two. And then that's it. You don't see any of the additional dream sequences.
Right.
Well, they're not really dream sequences, but
flashbacks,
whatever you want to call them. The significance of this and the lack of their being in the movie is that Dumbledore eventually kind of explains to Harry, or they come to the conclusion that Voldemort has a penchant for putting his soul in pieces of items that once belonged to Hogwarts founders.
Okay.
So, like Slytherin's ring and things like that.
Right.
So, that Harry never learns that in this book. Dumbledore's supposed to teach him that.
Is that significant?
Yeah, because the entire seventh book is Harry destroying the rest of the Horcruxes so that he can eventually defeat Voldemort.
But is it significant that they are founders' things or that they just are things?
It is, because one of the major stories of... or one of the major plot lines in the seventh book is that Harry is then able to determine how he goes about finding what these other items are. He can kind of research the founders and they each had items and he's able to piece together, what item would it be?
Well, that can still happen. I mean, Hermione could figure out that...
she's just going to genius it up?
She geniuses it up all the time, sir.
Look, that's how they're going to answer it. I agree. That's how they're going to do it. I just think that it's a leap. I think that it's a bit of a leap because Hermione doesn't really know anything about the Horcruxes except for what Harry tells her.
Right.
So she has to go based on Harry's, if you go just based on the movie, Harry's limited, feeble, small amount of knowledge.
Right.
I'm interested to see how they put that together in the seventh movie. So... there's that. And then there's one other big thing that a lot of people are complaining about.
The kiss?
No, not the kiss.
Oh.
I actually haven't read any complaints about the kiss.
Okay.
Have you?
No.
Oh. No, it's about the death of Dumbledore. And Harry's role in the death of Dumbledore.
Okay.
In the book, I believe Harry is under his invisibility cloak. And Dumbledore freezes him, puts him under the cloak, so that there's no way that Harry can interfere. Because he knows that Harry, who is headstrong, and Harry, who frequently goes against what he's supposed to do,
right,
goes by his gut, would interfere and in no way allow Draco to attempt to kill Dumbledore.
Right.
Which makes sense. That's Harry's character. In this, Harry's just kind of there and suddenly grows, the ability to be patient and sit.
Well, Dumbledore told him to stay under there and not to come out no matter what happened.
But that's never stopped Harry in the past.
Okay.
So, I guess the question is, why remove what could have been another minute of filming?
Right.
It would have been very easy to include the freezing and the covering and stay true to Harry's character. Harry is clearly a headstrong character. Let's go back to a scene that they inserted in this movie where he runs out in the field and the fires chase.
Yeah.
Clearly not something he should have done. Clearly everybody tells him not to do it. Lupin, Tonks,
right.
The Weasleys. But he does it anyway.
I don't get it.
I mean, we know he still has the cloak. We know it would have been easy for Dumbledore to do that. Why not just do it? It almost seems like pointless to eliminate it.
It does.
So
it kind of changes the character a little bit.
Absolutely. It makes no sense. That being said, I still enjoyed it overall. I think, what's his name that played Draco? What's that dude's name?
I don't remember. That plays Draco.
I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, I thought he really did a great job
in that role.
Yes.
Alan Rickman, as always, is fantastic.
Yes, he was very good.
I honestly wasn't overly moved by Radcliffe, Watson, or Grint. I thought they were their characters. I didn't think they did anything extraordinary in this one.
Oh, I have to disagree with you. I mean, they had a lot. They had a lot of subtle play to do in this movie that I think really should be recognized, because the whole relationship between Ron and Hermione and the girl that Ron is dating.
Oh, and Lavender?
Yeah.
Okay.
And all the subtle nuances and looks and gestures and all that stuff between them,
as well as between
Radcliffe and Bonnie Wright, who played Ginny Weasley, as we said earlier, those sorts of looks. And then the looks, of course, between Harry and Hermione, who both know. Hermione knows that Harry likes Ginny.
Right.
Harry knows that Hermione likes Ron. You know, there's a whole lot. There's a whole subtext of stuff that they translated without words in this film. And I think, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, with all due respect, they're in five of the, you know, great motion pictures money-wise of all time. But let's face it, they're inexperienced actors. And they have translated with really some amount of skill those emotions and feelings back and forth without having to use words. So,
all right, Ollie Crowe.
I think you've underestimated.
I'm accepting your statements of fact.
The other criticism that I saw was that Jim Broadbent was not fat enough.
Jim Broadbent.
Who was Slughorn.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that he should have been much larger a man.
I don't think that his size really affected his ability to play the character. I think he still played the character okay.
I'm not saying I have no issues with that.
I don't know. I liked it. I probably won't go see it again. I'll wait for it to come out on DVD and buy it because naturally.
Sucker.
Well, I got the first five. I'm going to have to finish it out. What are you going to do when the
amazing box set comes out?
Be pissed probably that I bought the first five.
Probably. Are you going to get it in Blu-ray?
Yeah, more than likely. Amazon had this great deal this past week. You can get the first five movies in Blu-ray for like $40.
Wow.
Which normally retails at like $180 or something.
But you
like
know
that.
It's going to be a box set.
Yeah, I know. We scooped them up anyway, though, just in case.
I'm going to wait.
For $40, we scooped them up anyway.
That's a good deal.
It was a good deal.
Yeah. Is that $8 a piece?
Yeah, I think there might have been one or two extra features on two of the movies too.
Oh, yeah?
Like little behind the scenesy stuff. So for $40, it's meh, you know.
Meh.
Kate bought them. I didn't buy them.
Yeah. It's always somebody else. Never you.
Well, they go on my shelf. I mean, that kind of counts, right?
It goes on your shelf?
Well,
you don't have a shelf.
It's our shelf.
You have a wife.
That's right.
Therefore, it is both y'all's shelf.
So there it is. Go see The Half-Blood Prince.
Yes.
You know, you'll enjoy it, I think, no matter what.
I'll tell you just as we wrap this up, one of my biggest problems was they never explained who the Half-Blood Prince was.
They barely explained
Now you know who it is, but they don't explain why
he is
called the Half-Blood Prince, and I thought that was a little disturbing. It was just kind of, I am the half-blood Prince Potter. You know? It was just kind of, well, why? You're not, are you half-blooded? Why are you a prince? You know, like, they didn't explain any of that. I'm just saying. Okay, let's take our final break, and we'll be right back with the wrap-up, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 156, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and the episode and the mystery of episode 155. It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful indeed. Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey, this is Edie McClurg, otherwise known as Grace, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what he does, Ed.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The sportos, the motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
What a geek!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 156, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and the mystery of episode 155.
You got it out. I had trouble before.
It's tough. I'm not going to lie.
OG, what did we talk about in this extraordinary episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about a plethora of photos in regards to Iron Man 2, Gwyneth Paltrow, Scarlett Johansson, Mickey Rourke. We've seen all new photos of them. We've finally seen the Black Widow. We've learned a little bit where they're going to go with Paltrow in the second movie. So we'll see where that goes.
We learned that Blue Water is going to be putting out a Michael Jackson King of Pop tribute comic in October.
We also learned a little bit about Fillion and Tudyk. Fillion and Tudyk doing a series for Spike TV called... PG Porn, so you can check them out over there. Fillion is going to be the voice of one of the commanders in the upcoming Halo 3 and Serenity Cake on the latest episode of Ace of Cakes.
Yay, cake. We also talked about some DVDs to check out, and conveniently they're all in one box that composes the complete 11th season of ER.
Trisha Helfer will be doing the voice of Boudicca in the upcoming Green Lantern First Flight, the DC animated series, coming to you in just a scant week or two, July 28th.
I like how you sound that out. Boudicca. In comics, we've asked you to check out Dynamite Entertainment's Buck Rogers number 2. Slave Labor Graphics, Zeke Deadwood Zombie Lawman number 1. From DC Comics, it's Wednesday Comics, the newspaper-style full sheet comic book experiment thing, which I think is going very well. And a couple of trades to check out. Also from Slave Labor Graphics, it's the Tron Ghost in the Machine trade paperback. The Astro City, The Dark Age, Book 1, Brothers and Other Strangers from Wildstorm. And from DC, it's Neil Gaiman and Andy Kubert's two-issue tale, Batman, Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader, the deluxe hardcover edition.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
In Emmy nominations this week that we may care about, Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog nominated for an Emmy, and that dude from Big Bang Theory. What's his name?
Jim Parsons.
Plays Sheldon on Big Bang Theory.
Yes, he's brilliant.
We also mentioned that Natalie Portman is joining the cast of Thor, and back to the Emmys. People are upset that Battlestar didn't get nominated for anything.
Aw, because they're leaving. In segment two tonight, we talked about the latest in the Harry Potter series of films, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Right.
OG had several problems with it.
But overall, I still liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I understand the criticisms and so on and so forth. You know, you're never going to escape the book is better criticism. Ever.
Ever, 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 ever.
The book is always better. Ever. There. Now, can we stop having people say, the book is better? The book is always fucking better. 99.9% of the time, the fucking book is better than any movie made of it.
Right.
Practical magic. The movie was better than the book. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't even know there was a book.
I heard that from somebody else. I didn't even read that shit, but I heard it and I believe it. So,
don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have each and every episode, along with our video content, new video content coming soon. We've spoken to production Tim.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently he is alive.
We stuffed him with sushi and toys.
That's it.
Produce.
The Big Kev's Geek Stuff t-shirt still for sale over at the website as well. If you have any comments, concerns, hates, likes about anything we talked about on the show, don't forget you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 425-920-6050. Next week, no new episode. We will be in San Diego for a couple of days.
Yes.
If you want to keep up to date with what's going on in San Diego and what we're doing, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm GeekStuffOG on Twitter. The show is BK Geek Stuff on Twitter, so you can follow both of those, and they'll be updated throughout the course of the days that we are there.
Wonderful.
And if you haven't checked out Geekerdome yet, geekerdome.com, the new network that we've joined. There's some nice message boards and, you know, some good fun stuff. A bunch of shows over there, Knights of the Guild, Toy Break, Flick, Hippo Juice.
All your favorites.
In his likeness, Sir Roland. There's like a billion things over
Big
there.
Big Kev Eat Stuff.
Coming soon, I hear. Big Kev Eats.
That's what I keep hearing.
So there it is. Don't forget, you can check out the other Big Kev's Geek Sub forums over at Toy Break. And we're all over the interweb.
Yeah,
we're popular.
Like are we that. Still on that homegrown radio thing?
In theory.
In theory?
I send them the file each week.
Oh, all
I haven't right. checked to see if they're running it, but.
Probably should check that.
Oh, maybe. I'm never home on Sunday.
Ah. Is that when they're running us?
Yes.
I thought we were on Friday or
no,
something.
No, we're on Sundays at 5 p.m. in the East. If anybody listens to us on Homeworld Radio, Sundays at 5 p.m. in the East,
drop us a line.
Let us know that you're listening to us over there. It would be nice.
Uh-huh. And with that, Triple B, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Episode 156, Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Mystery of Episode 155? No, he doesn't. Because he's not here.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Tony Stark makes you feel he's a cool exec with a heart of steel.
As Iron Man, all jets ablaze, he's bright and slight with repulsor rays.